Thanks, John. Good morning, everyone. Excuse me. This morning our theme is grace, love and fellowship. And as you might have guessed from the slide, if you're hoping for a continuity of a list of slides through this morning's talk, you'll be disappointed because that's it. Just wanted to have a nice bright scene behind this morning in a fairly overcast day. But I think if we remember those three words and as we explore them this morning, I think that will be good for us. Laura read the reading from verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 13. And the reason I wanted to read that, although I'm just going to focus on the last verse, which is verse 14, is just really to get it in context of the book of 2 Corinthians. Because the book of 2 Corinthians is full of quite a lot of warnings to the church. Quite a lot of stern stuff, really, as you read through it. And Paul was very careful when he was writing, A, to address issues head on. But I like the way he ends in a very gentle, fatherly way to that church. And an encouraging way. I think we read that Paul said, I haven't come to bear you down, but I've come to lift you up. I haven't come to drill you, but I've come to encourage you. And this last verse is one that we know very well. It's probably one of the most repeated verses of Scripture in church. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all is a wonderful way to end a letter. The verses it's most often used as a theme for Trinity Sunday. We're a little bit ahead of the curve in terms of the church calendar. That would normally be the 7th of June this year anyway. It's the Sunday after Pentecost Sunday. So if you're thinking what's happened to the church calendar, it's all skew-if, well, it's worth looking at these verses, regardless of the church calendar, isn't it? And I hope this morning as we get into this verse, it'll be wonderful just to explore it. And I'm not sure what we've got lined up for Trinity Sunday, but you'll probably find it something on Christmas or something like that. But it'll be enjoyable, I'm sure. I think as we look at this verse, it's kind of the farewell of all farewells, isn't it? It's the underlining to the word, to the letter that Paul wrote to them. Sometimes when I've been writing letters, I quite often just write "Love, Neil" at the end of it, regardless of whether it's a bloke or a woman that I'm writing to. And quite often when I come to the end of my emails, I'll be thinking, how shall I sign it off? Just signing off with my name sounds a little bit blunt. So I quite often put "love" and hope people don't misinterpret that. I don't do that with my boss. My boss just gets a "regards." You have to be careful with "love" with your boss, especially as it's a bloke. So I just do "regards" for my work colleagues. But when I was a bit younger, I used to write a lot more letters. I don't do so many letter writing now, but I was probably a little bit keen when I was young and trying to... When I was young. Sounds of past tense. I'm still young, I know that. But when I was younger, and I used to try all sorts of flowery farewells to my letters, and I'd write things like, I pray that the Lord of peace will keep your hearts fixed on him. And I thought that sounded so good. And I was probably being a bit too super spiritual. Now I've just gone back to love. So I think as I've got older, I've got simpler, which is probably good, I think, in many ways. And in our day-to-day conversations, we use all sorts of different words, don't we, for goodbye and farewells. It's interesting that Paul, when he was writing this letter, after the word goodbye, he uses another 62 words to express his goodbye. Now, if you want to be so microscopic as to count them during the next 5 minutes, you're very welcome. You might not concentrate, but... and if I've gone one either side, please don't shoot me. It was just done this morning. It's a bit like the preacher saying, and finally, and going on for another 15 minutes. Well, saying goodbye and another 62 more words was quite excessive. I guess in the way we say goodbye, how do you say goodbye? You might just say plain ordinary goodbye, or ciao, or see you later, or God bless, or take care. We use many different words for saying goodbye. And... I just wondered, I've got a few famous goodbyes here, and I wondered if you might recognise who said them. So this is a little test for you at the beginning of the talk. I'm just going a little sideways here. This is totally non-scriptural, okay, for a moment. But just to kind of illustrate the way that goodbyes can be so very different. Who said this? May the force be with you. You can shout out. You're very welcome to. Well, I think a few people said it in Star Wars. It was first said by Han Solo. I think, to Luke Skywalker before the attack on the Death Star battle station. If you haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, then bear with me. You might come to one in your era. Okay, talking of which, how about this one? Here's looking at you, kid. Oh, Mervyn, you're a star. Humphrey Bogart in the film Casablanca. What a superstar, that one. Here's another one. This is a longer one, a long farewell. Why can't we get all the people together in the world that we really like and then just stay together? I guess that wouldn't work. Someone would leave. Someone always leaves, and then we have to say goodbye. I hate goodbyes. I know what I need. I need more hellos. Snoopy, that was, in case you haven't been wondering about that one. Next one, which is a much shorter one. This is kind of a double-barrel clue to this one. I'll be right here. E.T. Oh, we've got some real keen ones here this morning, haven't we? Okay, the next one. Promise me you'll never forget me, because if I thought you would because if I thought you would, I'd never leave. This was written by A.A. Milne. Did he write Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
There you go. How about this one? This one's a little bit... I'm not sure I just messed up. I will anyway. I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye. Did you watch it last night? Hannibal Lecter, yeah, he was a cannibal. here's another short one. And so to bed. Samuel Pepys. Probably repeated by other people, I would think. To infinity and beyond. Buzz Lightyear. Okay, now we've done with all those. Here's one which I don't think is attributed to anyone in particular, but it's a lovely one. It's an Irish blessing. And if you could memorise this one and say this when you're saying goodbye to people this morning, it would be lovely. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be ever at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rain fall softly on your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. It's wonderful, isn't it? Okay. All right, for some it wasn't so wonderful. But goodbyes can be very trite, can't they? Very casual. And sometimes they can be filled with a lot of meaning. It's hard to say goodbye sometimes, isn't it? And to fill it with the meaning that we really want to express. And I think where Paul was coming from with this verse was to try to emphasize right at the end of his letter a farewell that was full of his heart, really. To the Corinthians, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's a verse that we run off the tip of our tongue so quickly, doesn't it? We quite often say it in church. We might say it later on. I think the first time I came into a church where people said, let's say the grace to each other, and everyone kind of looks around and looks at each other, so I was wondering what a crazy bunch of Christians these were. But we kind of express it to each other, don't we? That sense of, and I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with you. And that was Paul's heartfelt farewell. Let's look in detail, perhaps, at the verse, shall we? It's interesting the order in which Paul puts this verse, because if you're thinking about the Godhead, you might think, surely it should go the love of God, then the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Because we normally think of the Godhead, of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. But it's interesting that Paul has this in a slightly different order. He has the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ first, and then the love of God, the Father, and then the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And maybe there's something to do with the pattern of the early church in that, that they very much focused on the redemption of Christ as having the primary place in restoring us to fellowship with God. Don't know, but there's a suggestion for you. That just the order of it is interesting, and sometimes we just say it so quickly and we don't even notice. It's an interesting way of putting the three persons of the Godhead. The next thing I want just to look at about the verse is that it's unlike any other farewell in Paul's letters in the New Testament. If you flick through, again, you can flick through and I'll hear you flicking through, all of the other letters, you'll see that most of the end of Paul's letters, he signs off with just, and the grace of God be with you, or the grace of God go with you. He just uses that one phrase, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The only other letter that he changes away from that is in 1 Corinthians, where he has his own love, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and my love be with you. But only here does he talk about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Maybe he sensed there was a real need for the church, for love and fellowship as well as grace. And sometimes it can be really important to be specific about the words that we say to each other. You know, when someone says to you, how are you? And you say, fine. And actually behind that is a multitude of stuff. If you know them well, maybe you can share a few things with them. But perhaps when we say goodbye to people, just to be more expressive in terms of what we might say to each other. What is the real need that we can identify and meet with the things that we say? The next thing I want to look at about the verse are the words that Paul chooses to bring out the specific aspects of God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that he could have just used the words, may Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit be with you. Could have said that, couldn't he? But instead of that, he chose to say, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. I wonder what words people would put in front of your name to describe you. I've got to keep my eyes shut now, I guess I get tempted. Gentle Bruce, charming Hazel, solid David. I'm going to stop now. But what words would people put in front of your name to describe you? And why did Paul pick out these words to describe the Lord Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit? I was just reflecting on that a lot and thinking, well, I can't think of any better ones, really, that would epitomize the expression of Jesus Christ to his church and epitomize the expression of God to his church and epitomize the expression of the Holy Spirit to his church. Grace, love, and fellowship. I want to look at those a little bit later on. It's a little bit like using the words mother, father, friend, isn't it? Mother, father, friend. Well, yeah, they're words, they're nouns, we know them. But, you know, unless you've experienced them, unless you've experienced friendship, in a way, it's just a word, isn't it? And somehow Paul was wanting to get over to the church that it's more than a name. It's more than a Godhead name. It's more than a statement. There's the caliber and the virtue and the characteristic in those names that I want you to experience, emphasizing grace, love, and fellowship, touching the relational and experiential aspects of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit with us. Didn't just want them to go away with the text, didn't want them just to have that sense of Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, but the relational elements of God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit to them as a church. It's interesting that the Trinity, as we might think of on June 7th or are thinking of today, the three people of the Godhead, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're described so often as part of the church's doctrine. Now, I'm not a great doctrine fan. I think doctrine is very important, but I love experience and life and the expressions of doctrine more so than perhaps the precision of doctrine. So if you want a complicated discussion about doctrine, you know, pass me by. I guess it's Stuart or someone who loves talking doctrine. I guess for me, if you're going to major on doctrine with me, you know, I'll yawn first, okay, which will give you a bit of an early warning, and then move on. But I love that sense of relational, experiential, kind of living nature of who we are and who we are related to in God. I want to know something about God, my Father and his love, and I want to know something in my life about Jesus Christ and his grace that saves me. I want to know something about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I want to experience it. I want to feel it. I want to live it. I don't want to just have it as a creed that I say. I don't want to just see the figureheads of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on a stained glass window. I want to feel it. I want to live it. I want to be in it. Because that to me is what Jesus Christ has done by his grace. Given us the chance to come into a relationship with God, not just to know him as a creed or a piece of glass. And I'm not digging at creeds and glasses. Not glasses, yeah, stained glass windows. But to me, there's an excitement about the experience and the relationship that I don't get just by the words themselves. And I think that's Paul was bringing that sense of extra dynamic to those names. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And experience the grace. Know the grace. The love of God. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Actually, the verse itself doesn't say anything about the doctrine of the Trinity. Really, when you look at it, maybe we've just taken it and decided that because it happens to mention Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, that it's good to pin to Trinity Sunday. But it talks about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and who they are and how they want to relate to the church. You can fill books with the definitions of God, but God wants a relationship with you and I. So much more. Doesn't want you just to be defined as a son of God, a Christian. Wants you to be his beloved son. Wants you to be his holy priesthood. Wants you to be those things that he's made you to be. Perhaps let's look a little more carefully at those three words that Paul uses to describe the three persons. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to bring you and I into a relationship with a forgiving Saviour and keep us there. You know, maybe Paul knew the need of the church. And when we think about our own need, don't we need more than just the name? Don't we need the revelation, the outworking, the intervention of Jesus Christ in our lives? There's an emphasis through grace of nothing demanded of us as individuals. Powerless to change our own state. Needing the intervention of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary to make a difference in our lives. The ability of Christ to see us as we really are. And because of his death, to be able to be forgiven and cleansed and transformed and made whole. Wonderful. The whole import of grace. Grace that doesn't count the cost and doesn't keep the score. Grace that's getting what we need when we haven't earned it. Grace that's starting each day clean before God. Grace is knowing that we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ and looking to him as our friend and saviour. Wonderful. And the thing that I was thinking about through this verse is as I've received the grace of Jesus Christ, as Paul was wanting to encourage the Corinthians to receive the grace of Jesus Christ, so we've received, so give. You see, it wasn't just a case of receiving grace, love and fellowship, but these are things that we can give as well, aren't they? And actually we should. If we've received and done good, we're a pretty mean, selfish lot. As we've received, so give grace, forgiveness, hospitality, warm words of reconciliation, second chances. How are you in grace? Are you a gracious person? People know you as someone that's got a lot of capacity to just have a big, wide open heart to them. You know, I love you, and you can spit in my eye and I'll turn the other one. Are you that gracious to other people? Are you patient with them? Care enough about them to give them the benefit of the doubt? That's what Jesus has done for us. Secondly, the love of God. Love to bathe our hearts in the passion and commitment of our Heavenly Father. Not the judgment or the laws of God, but his poured out committed love to us. Love from the one who is love, perfect love, unconditional love, unfathomable love, unending love. The love of God who says, I love you. You're mine, no matter what. God's love that challenges, pushes, sees clearly and longs for a deep relationship with you. And as we have received the love of God, so give love. I wonder if we love each other as fully as we could. I wonder if we do. I'm disappointed that I'm working abroad so often at the moment, and I only get a chance to be here once a month a bit at the moment, which is sad. And I really love Sundays when I'm here because I love to see people. Now, you might think, well, actually, that's all right for you because we see everyone week in, week out, and they now get a bit dull. Well, you know, thank God for the people that are here. Thank God for each other. You know, there are so many. I mean, I work in a country that's full of legalism and dominated by the law, dominated by fear, dominated by the threat of repercussions. I can't take Christian books into that country. I can't take my Bible with me, which means I don't get to read it for 2 weeks, which I've just been reading crime thrillers. So if this morning I've come out a bit like a crime thriller, I'm sorry, but I've read three of them in the last 2 weeks. But the whole culture of the place and the people, there's just kind of there's a dullness, there's a deadness, there's a tramline nature about the way that they are as people. And you think, thank God that we're in a country and we're in a church where we can experience the love of God that sets us free to be who we are, to be who God wants us to be made someone that God wants to fashion us into, and where we can rejoice and be glad in it. And be pleased to be able to talk about it and to be fellowshipping with people together on a Sunday that have a like mind and a like heart. And during the week as well, of course. Love, I'm just going to say 1 Corinthians 13, love that's patient, kind, doesn't envy, doesn't boast, isn't proud, isn't rude, isn't self-seeking, isn't easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, doesn't delight in evil, rejoices in the truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, never fails. I bet if Paul could have said that again in 2 Corinthians 13, repeating his 1 Corinthians 13, he would have done. But the love of God, with all that richness to it, I want you to know it and experience it and live in it as a church. I think that was his heart. And lastly, the fellowship, that lastly was, by the way, on the 3 points, wasn't lastly on the sermon. Lastly, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, or the communion of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship to knit your heart with the spirit of power and intimacy, to bring people together in harmony. It's interesting that Paul didn't say, and the power of the Holy Spirit, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but he said the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to put my neck on the line. I think fellowship is more precious than a gift, because it brings me into unity. And I'd rather be in unity and be plain me than be in disunity and have all the gifts under the sun. I want to be one with people. And I think that's a wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit can do with us. He can bring us into unity with each other. And we come from so many different backgrounds and cultures and upbringings, church upbringings. I've been through a whole load of different church upbringings, Baptist churches, evangelical churches, charismatic churches, way out wacky churches, and now Alma. I don't know what that one is, but you know, we've all got our backgrounds, we've all got our tastes, we've all got our preferences, but we can be one through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And that was what Paul's ideal was, saying, I want you to be one. Please be one above everything else. Put other things to the side and focus on the Holy Spirit, who can bring you into fellowship with himself, with Jesus, with God, and with each other in the church. And as we have received, so give. Are we good at building relationships? Reaching out to people? Including people? Having fellowship with people? And I think as the whole three persons of the Godhead come together, love, grace, fellowship, it brings a real richness and a joy, I think, in Paul's farewell. And I guess in thinking about the Trinity, if we really want to know God, then let's get to know him as a person. Let's get to know Jesus as a person with all that he is, and the Holy Spirit as a person with all that he is, not just names that we know so well. God's not so much interested, really, in whether you know the ins and outs of Trinitarian doctrine as much as you know him as a person, one that can love you and be loved by him. I think lastly, just thinking about the wrapping that Paul puts around those, he says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. There's that sense of blessing and a hope of their experience, a benediction. A sense of, not just, you know, fingers crossed, but a bit like following wind downhill, you know, I hope it'll be with you. But that emphasis, I really want you to know the grace and the love and the fellowship of God. I really do. And I pray that it'll be with you. And I think as, I'm just finishing now, and I think as we think about this verse, and maybe we might say it later on, I don't know. But let's think about it deeply. Do we really know the grace of Jesus Christ? Between you and him, between me and him, between you and the person sitting next to you, between you and the person on the other side of the room, do you really feel there's grace in that relationship? We can pray that God will expand our hearts to be more gracious. The love of God. Are you in love with God? Someone said to me, is it difficult going away for 2 weeks? How's Irene cope? I said, well, it is true that absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I'm not going to keep doing it forever, but there's just a rekindling again of you know, you haven't seen someone for a couple of weeks. And it's the same, I find, not the same relationship, but the same sense of love when I see people in the fellowship here who I haven't seen for a couple of weeks. I kind of embarrassed Paul a little bit this morning. I said, I really need a hug from you. And he gives lovely hugs. If you want a hug, Paul's got a great hug, very warm and enfolding, if you feel you need one. And I'm just volunteering you, Paul, sorry. And you know, it is so lovely to just feel that sense of warmth and friendship and love in the church. And I was so blessed. Thanks, Paul. And sorry to use you as an example. But you know, church life is, it's a wonderful place to be in, I think. I want to be in the church till the day I die. I'm not one of these that wants to go wandering off and, you know, be church hopping and think I can do it on my own. I want to be in the church, and I want to be related to people who are related to me, who are related to God. And I want that to be our joy. And I think that's where Paul was when writing to the Corinthians. He said, look, you've been through some tough times, Corinthians. I've given you a bit of a tough letter. I've ticked you off. I've warned you. I've given you some stern things that I've said to you. But above all, I want you to know the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, because those will underpin you. They'll provide the power for you to change. They'll provide the basis and the environment in which you can live and find the supply of God. And that's what it's for, that farewell. It underlines the whole letter. It wraps it up. It says, that's where I'm ending it. I'm not ending it on warnings, on stressing out about you. I'm ending it on the love of God, the grace of Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to major on anything, let's major on those things and let them be part of our experience. So perhaps as we draw to the close of our time together, hand back to John, but think about those things. Are you gracious to people? Do you love people? Do you value fellowship with people? Because they're so precious. Because the minute you miss them, then you'll realize how valuable they are. Perhaps I'll finish with the last illustration of a friend of mine who was an elder in the church I used to belong to. He was an old man called Joe. And he wasn't a great preacher. He tried his hardest. He wasn't a singer. He wasn't someone that was necessarily up front, but he was a man of quality. He was a man of caliber. He was a man of genuine love for people. And we were in a conference one Easter time in our church in London, and Joe went out to the gentleman's facilities and didn't come back. And he'd had a heart attack in the room out the back. And suddenly the whole of the conference changed a little bit as people went out there, and he was still alive, but he was taken to hospital quite quickly, as you'd expect. And I remember talking to him in hospital, and he said to me, I don't think I'll be really missed until I'm gone. That was a tough farewell from Joe. And it was true in many ways. He wasn't really missed until he'd gone. And you know, grace, love, and fellowship, don't treat them cheaply. You'll miss them if you don't experience them. I miss them. The 2 weeks I'm working in Saudi Arabia, I don't get hugs from people. I might try it next time. But let's embrace them as wonderful, wonderful provisions of our God to us. His grace, His love, and His fellowship. Let's just pray, and I'll hand back to John. Father, we so want to be careful about our relationship with You. Lord, not careful such as we're treading on glass, but careful and as in really, really appreciating who You are and what You've done for us. Thank You so much for the grace of Your Son, Jesus. Thank You so much, Father, for Your profound love for us. And thank You, Holy Spirit, for the fellowship that you've brought us into with yourself, with Jesus, with God the Father, and with each other in your church. We value it highly, and we want to be committed to seek out your grace, love, and fellowship in these coming days to bind us together and show us how much you love us. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.